and welcome to the Real Jaws Minute. I'm Jeremy Sternhagen.
I'm Tyson Ferris.
And we are back for part two of our discussion of Orca.
We have a young Bo Derek in this film.
Yeah.
I feel like we're all over the place in talking about this film. So we're just going to, I don't think we're going to sequentially go through this.
No.
I was like, oh, that's a cute young lady there. And it's like, but then I was like, in the first scene, and then like the second scene, I was like, she seems familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that? And then I was like, I literally had to stop. It was by the third scene she was in. And I was like, I know who that is. Who is that?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's Bo Derek. And she's so freaking young in this.
She was like 20 or 19. She probably shot this when she was 19. And it came out when she was 20.
Yeah, she's so young in this. She's almost unrecognizable
as
the Bo Derek you kind of know. But
I remember when I first saw this as a kid and the VHS copy that would have been sitting at the video store. Like, obviously, by the time Orca came out on home video, Bo Derek was a bigger box office draw than when Orca was made. So all the VHS cover art and all the marketing behind the movie that I ever saw as a kid was like Richard Harris. Bo Derek.
Oh, wow.
Like, she's a star of the movie.
Wow. That doesn't help.
No. Well, she's kind of a non-presence in the movie.
Yep.
I'm not really sure why she's in the movie. Her position's never really that clear. She just sort of runs around.
Just a girl on the boat.
Yep, she's a girl. She has no purpose.
Yeah.
If there's a plot point explaining why she's there, I missed it.
She isn't even Richard Harris's Salvatore from Jaws, Quint Salvatore.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The guy walking the dog and kind of following him around. She's not even that. Like, I don't even know. Like, that guy in Jaws has more of a purpose than I feel she does in Orca.
Well, her, like, everybody on the boat just feels like they're put on the boat to be eaten or not even eaten. The Orca just kills them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
that's another weird thing that makes the movie like dark and grim and hard to get on board with is like the killer whale's not. He just wants to kill. He just wants to kill people.
Well,
he's not. He's not hungry. He's just mad.
Yeah, he's absolutely mad.
He's a tragic figure.
Which we should get into why he's mad. We've not talked.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
If there's any scene in this movie that we need to talk about,
For the people who have been listening for a long time, when Orca came up during Jaws 1, pretty much the only thing that got mentioned was, there's this really disturbing scene in Orca.
There's two scenes in this film that stand out. This is one of them.
Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know what the other one is. I'm curious to hear. Boy, does it stand out. And as an 8-year-old, boy, was I utterly traumatized.
This is it's pretty horrific, pretty gnarly stuff.
Yeah.
And this is honestly the scene where this is the scene that makes me 100% on board with anything the Orca does in the rest of the film.
Yeah.
Which I think is a problem for this film.
Yeah.
I feel like the film's constantly trying to get you to root for the humans,
mm-hmm.
except I never got there.
Right.
I was like, yeah.
Well, all the
let's have the Orca kill these guys.
Yeah. All the subsequent scenes where Richard Harris is like, I feel really bad as an audience
member, I'm going,
you better.
Yeah. You should.
You ass.
You freaking ass. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and if you really, I mean, this might get a little dark, but if you really want to be sympathetic to killer whales, just go ahead and watch the movie Blackfish. You're going to hate anyone that ever gets within a mile of a killer whale. Basically. Yep. Have you seen that movie?
I have not
seen
it.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, enough said on that, audience.
I've heard of it.
Check out Blackfish.
I've not.
Yeah.
It's my own shortcomings as a human. Like I just,
yeah,
I have a real problem with any sort of abuse to animals. And
then you probably don't, if
I just
then this movie won't convince you of anything you don't already have a conviction about.
Yeah.
Because it's,
so, yeah. Pretty sure anything that movie's going to tell me, I already feel in my heart of hearts. So I don't know why I have to subject myself to it.
Yep.
So that's what I think.
Anyway, I think killer whales are awesome. This movie actually convinced me they were awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. In my notes here, the orca is right.
Kill everybody. Kill her. Just sink that boat.
Yep.
That would have been way. Why didn't the orca just sink his boat right off? Right.
Think about it. If what happens to this animal is literally what happens, almost verbatim, what happens to Charles Bronson
in
Death Wish.
Oh yeah, that okay.
Now he's the hero of that movie.
This movie is not a Jaws ripoff. It's a Death Wish ripoff in Jaws skin, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Family murdered.
Yeah.
Gonna go kill everybody.
Okay, but that's, if that's the, what we're getting, then the orca's the.
Totally. So.
But you can't spend a whole film with the orca and getting to know the orca. Do you know what I mean? Because it's a fish that you can't.
I feel like we did a little bit.
Yeah. And I keep saying fish. I understand it's not a mammal. Fish. It's a mammal.
Yes.
But come on.
It doesn't sound right when I say the mammal.
No. If it, I don't know.
So what do you know?
It swims around and looks a lot like a fish to me.
Do you know who wrote this movie?
Some Italian guys.
You're right. So two Italian guys, Luciano, I'm going to butcher this, Luciano Vincenzoni and Sergio Donati. Mm-hmm. They have one other movie under, well, they have a few other movies, but they have one other movie under their belt that they're known for writing. It's a little movie you might have heard of called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the writers of that are the writer of this. And there's a uncredited ghostwriter who did a little script punch up on this movie, Robert Towne.
Oh.
Yes.
God, they were bringing big guns on this thing.
Yeah. And here's what I'll just put this out there. And then.
Writer of my very, probably, if you put a gun to my head and said, what's your favorite film?
Chinatown.
Yep.
Yep. Robert Towne. Yep. So I'll put this out there and you guys can ruminate on this. I think that Dino De Laurentiis saw Jaws and went to his team of producers and said, give me something better than Jaws. And I think that they all went out there and did the script and the concept and the movie they wanted to make, the idea of this, you know, this all the gravitas and pathos they pumped into this script about a killer whale and his offspring being murdered and his wife being murdered. And like the idea of it, like there's something about it I love.
Sure.
Where it all comes apart for me, even though it has flashes of like, oh, that's interesting. That's cool.
Flashes
of, you don't know what flashes is, Tyson? No. If you don't know, I'm not going to tell you.
Okay. There's color me curious.
There's something about the idea of it and the concept of it that I really, really like. But where it all comes apart for me is in kind of the characterization, the filmmaking, and the editing. Even though there are flashes of brilliance, not brilliance, there's flashes of good stuff.
Of good stuff.
In it. But there's something about it, like I want to love the movie they were trying to make.
Yeah, so in that vein, I would agree with you there. I felt like there were, like they literally had two scripts and couldn't decide between them. So they just shot, they knew the orca stuff was already in the can.
Mm-hmm.
Like they knew, I feel like that was all, like that was all shot before they even started production on this.
Hey, we got this killer whale footage.
Yeah, and we're going to
go make it a movie.
Yeah, we'll make a real nice movie for you. Yeah.
And then we'll have some spaghetti. This is the worst Italian stereotypes
so bad.
Possible.
So bad. sorry, our Italian-American listeners.
Yes. I have an Italian descendant wife and children, so yeah. I'm allowed. I'm in the club.
Are you?
I have an Irish-Italian wife.
Anyway, I feel like even Italians do that stereotype. So, anyway, it's so over the top. It's just, where was I here? Oh yeah. Like they had two different scripts and, they just was like, okay, so we have like scene A and scene B. We'll do scene A and yep. then we'll just turn around. We'll have all the same setups and we'll do scene yep. B and we're just going to move through the film like that. And then in editing, we'll just
yeah.
decide which one we like more. And I yep. think I feel like that's why everything's all over the place. Just cause yeah.
So there's something really Italian about this movie.
In its slapdash manner.
Yes. Like I can imagine the director going like, I'd like to have another take. And the producer going, nah, you got it. Let's go. Keep it going. No more. We don't have more money.
Yeah.
The director of this movie.
Cause even the spaghetti Westerns, like you watch like Fistful of Dollars, like mm-hmm. you can feel a bit of the slapdash in those. Like, And not in a bad way, I don't even think. Like,
no.
It's just, this was done for just dirt cheap and...
I feel like we're watching the first take on almost every scene in Fistful of Dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Aside, spaghetti Westerns.
Yeah.
And, Sergio Leone movies. Like, where does he...
Sergio Leone is one of the... great directors of all time in my
the opinion. Best
yeah
one yeah. of the best. And Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is one of my I would put it in the top 1%.
The other isn't it, there's another Sergio Corbucci
filmmaker,
yeah.
Oh, I don't know
who did like Django and those ones.
Oh yes, I couldn't tell you the name of the filmmaker. Might be,
I can't remember if he's a Sergio or not. Anyway,
yeah
but I'm pretty sure the film, the last name's Corbucci. He's kind of unsung, and I think he's in a lot of ways, just as good as Leone.
Mm-hmm. All those Franco Nero.
Yeah.
So Django and then Trinity, right? Is that, those are both Franco Nero?
God, I don't know.
Yeah. The whole Italian filmmaking movement.
And then there's the whole Gallo like movement.
Giallo. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not Italian, so I don't know how you pronounce it.
Yeah. If you want to say, yeah, Giallo. Jilo.
Yeah.
Gaio. I love all those movies, by the way. I could do a whole podcast on it. If it's not obvious to our listeners, between Tyson and I, I'm going to go out on a limb and say I might be a little bit more of an apologist / evangelist on kind of B-grade schlocky stuff. Like you said earlier, and I've never had it quite put this way, like you want the movie to be good. Whereas I do too, but I kind of take every movie on its own terms. Like I think I do too.
I just.
Like it's easy to compare this against Jaws and go, Jaws is so much better. Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
Well, that's duh. if I'm doing that to all these films, then I mean, even Jaws 2 is just like, yeah.
Jaws 2's greatest sin is that it's called Jaws 2.
Yeah.
It's, they're trying to tell you that this is more of the same, and it's not. I said there was something very Italian about this movie. I, having seen many Italian movies and being a fan of, you know, Giallo and Sergio Leone movies, that's kind of where mm-hmm. we were talking. I'm a big fan of all those movies.
The spaghettis.
Spaghetti, yeah. This is a spaghetti Jaws, really. And what's funny, though, is with all the, like, English, Irish, American, British, you know, like, non-Italian talent in this movie,
mm-hmm.
It still feels so Italian to me with just kind of how slapdash it is. And the biggest thing I noticed was, so the director of this movie is Michael Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Whose previous credits include Around the World in 80 Days, The Dam Busters, Wreck of the Merry Deer, and Logan's Run. which is a movie I, as dated as it is, I really like Logan's Run. But I just watched this movie and I have a hard time associating
two
him.
Of those movies I know, or two of those movies that you know for a fact are good because I've seen them.
Which
ones? Dam Busters and Logan's Run.
Yeah. Around the World in 80 Days is a big bloated kind of mess, but it's fun.
Yeah, I've never seen that one.
Wreck of the Merry Deer was an Alfred Hitchcock project that he walked away from, and Michael Anderson took it over.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, this is totally not related to anything we're doing. I want to recommend the film Charade.
Stanley Donen, Cary Grant, and
Audrey Hepburn.
Yes, I've seen that movie.
I feel like it's the best Hitchcock movie that Hitchcock didn't make.
If I didn't know any better watching it for the first time, I would have said it was a Hitchcock movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And a fantastic score, if I remember correctly.
Really too. Great Henry Mancini score.
Yeah, that's who it is. Yeah.
It's just a fun, fun film. I just really, really liked it.
You'd never seen it before?
Never seen it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it a couple times. That was this one I think I saw with my grandparents as a kid. I recently got Walter Matthau.
Yeah,
also in it.
Great, yes. Walter Matthau, yes. In this. George Kennedy, who's fantastic, and James Coburn. It's really a crackerjack cast.
Yeah, and it's fun.
It's a really fun. You have no idea what's going on at any point in time. But man, they keep you hooked, and God, it's good.
Yeah,
anyway, just really, really liked it.
So,
I don't want to get us off on a tangent, but Charade, go watch it.
I have the soundtrack to that movie.
That's fantastic.
It's really good. Yes. Watch that movie, everybody. Okay, so Michael Anderson directed it. Weird side note, he directed a movie called The Fine Young Cannibals, which is where the band gets their name from.
Oh, okay.
Totally weird.
Cool.
And I'll get one more film credit out of the way since we're on the topic. The cinematographer of this movie is Ted Moore. And I know when that came up on the screen, I'm like, I can't tell you what he was a cinematographer for, but I know I've seen that name.
You just saying it out loud makes me think, I'm like, I know Ted Moore.
He's a cinematographer who did 100 movies you've seen. You ready for the list? I won't go through the whole list, but...
Just hit the high points.
Every James Bond movie up until Man with a Golden Gun.
Whoa!
Except for maybe... Let's see here. Dr. No, From Rush with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball, Diamonds Are Forever, Live and Let Die.
I totally believe that. It has that look, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It very much has that look. Those inky black night shots.
Kind of like weirdly grim. Kind of...
Yeah.
That is something I've always, like, except for Goldfinger, I feel like a lot of those early Sean Connery
Even
Bonds.
Goldfinger a little bit. There's a, God, what is it? It's just, if the camera wasn't locked off, like if the camera is handheld in those Bond movies, you'd almost swear they're like documentaries. Do you know what I mean? There's a realism to their, pastiche, I guess.
Yeah.
To use a big word.
There was a real distinct change, I think, that came with, like, in the look of those movies, too. And I remember, like, Spy Who Loved Me and Moonraker, like, those movies look different. They look, like, bigger budgeted. Somehow.
Yeah, more produced. Yeah.
But watching those older Bonds, like, they still, like, there's a little grit.
There's a grit to them.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
100%. Look. Yeah. Anyway.
Could just be the film stock.
They're noisy. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Blu-ray restorations of those actually polished them up almost too much, in my opinion. They look too good. And I mean that in a good way. They look really good. Anyway, that's kind of the end of my notes on the who made the movie.
My notes are exhausted, so you're steering the ship.
All right.
You can leave here, buddy.
You can leave, and I'm just going to talk about how great this movie is. Yeah, this movie.
Do you want to talk about what, like, I mean, I think I've made my thoughts known, but this is not a good movie.
Oh, yeah, let's just boil it down. Okay.
Here's what I'm going to say. This is my review, okay? Yeah. Or this is how I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I will watch Jaws 2 again before I watch Orca.
I watched this movie in its entirety last night, and I now know, as a 40-year-old man, that I may never, ever watch this movie again. As I stare my midlife crisis in the face.
Yeah.
And I can actually count, looking backwards, the hours I've had and the hours I have remaining. And hopefully I have more life left. I'm not fully halfway gone.
Yeah.
But you really start to count how many hours you have left in the world. I'm not going to spend two more of them on Orca. I'll talk to you more about Orca.
Here's the thing. You didn't spend 2 hours. It feels like you spent two hours.
92 minutes
it's
or something.
It's only 90 minutes long.
It's less.
It feels like it's a 2-hour movie. That's not good.
I think, okay, you're right. It's a bad movie. I love to watch it as a curiosity piece and go, this was directed by the guy who did Milgen's Run, and the cinematographer was the guy for Thunderball, and it was written by all those ingredients in the stew just add up to, I want so much more out of it.
It is a curiosity for sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it really is. I'm not sad I watched it.
Right. Just as purely as to build your filmmaker encyclopedia brain.
Yeah. No, I'm not sad I watched it. I think there's, like I said, I thought the actors did a great job with what they were given. It was certainly interesting to see some of them so young.
Yeah. Richard Harris was always old though.
He's old in this film and he's only 46. Like, yeah.
He looks
like he's what?
He looks like he's 65.
Yeah, he looks like he's like pushing 60.
Yeah. It was rough going on there in Europe in the 50s.
Anyhow.
So coming up, as when we started off this episode, I was talking about like how I was trying to figure out what movies we were going to watch. And I felt like this one, regardless of how good or bad it is, you kind of have to watch it. If you're going to talk about Jaws ripoffs, you can't skip this one. We can skip Grizzly.
Well, there's a direct reference to this in Jaws 2.
Right. This movie is
this film starts with a reference to Jaws.
This movie is tit to Jaws and Jaws 2 is tat to Orca.
Yes.
Like they're literally going like, yeah, yeah. And I don't think there's any more of that. And then now,
hey, this is a family podcast. Let's knock off that tit and tat talk.
Okay. So here's where I'm going with all this. For those of you out there that wanted to hear our thoughts about Orca, you're welcome. We got that out of the way. But where I really, really want to go with our Jaws discussions on Jaws remakes and ripoffs, I'm so excited for Piranha and Alligator and whatever. And you recently, did we say this on air last time? You came up with another movie that we're going to discuss.
We did not say this on air. I said this at the Minute by Minute
Podcast Festival.
Podcast Celebration Fest.
Yeah. We got to hang out with the Star Wars guys and all our other fellow Minute by Minute.
Yeah,
recorders.
It was really, really fun. And I brought up, I realized, we put Jurassic Park in this list as a kind of a bit of a Jaws remake, because I do believe it is in certain ways.
Yeah.
But we did not put on our list what is essentially the Jaws prequel.
Another Spielberg movie
called Duel.
And I am so stoked to watch that too. I already know I love that movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely need to watch that.
So Duel is definitely in the mix here.
Yeah.
So
look forward to our Duel discussion. But coming up in the not too distant future, we will do Piranha. We'll do that next, I think, because not next episode, but our next ripoff that we cover will be Piranha, because chronologically it came out before Alligator. So I'm looking,
I'm not sure what we're doing next. You'll have to just tune in.
But yeah, we still got Jaws 3, Jaws Revenge, Piranha.
Yep.
Alligator.
And we got some fun kind of bonus episodes coming up with some Jaws 2 stuff. Yeah, so
special guests.
Yeah.
We're working on. We'll see. So, well, I have thoroughly all right. The sound designer on this movie also did The Shining.
You nobody know cares.
It. Nobody cares.
If you're still listening, you care who the if you're still listening, you care who the sound designer is.
The Orca voice was done by Percy Edwards, who also did the alien face hugger and Fizzgig in Dark Crystal. Boom.
Whoa.
Yep. You waited this long
to get to the
end of the podcast to hear that information.
That's a deep all right. That's a deep nug right there.
There are my notes.
Okay.
In the trash. I never need them again. That's all my notes. Orca is in the books.
Hey, folks, if you're still with us, please check out our PayPal. And yeah, that's at the bottom of the notes. What else, Jer?
Yeah, hit us up on, if you guys like what we do and you want to buy us a beer, find us on PayPal. It's on the Facebook group and our podcast notes. And yeah.
And speaking of Facebook, head on over there and become a member.
Of the Real Jaws Minute
Facebook please, group. Please like and subscribe. Give us a review. That always helps, I'm told. Especially
please review us on the iTunes and the iTunes Stitcher.
Yeah. Or Stitcher. Yeah, we are on Stitcher and, preferably the 5-star variety. Those are the ones we like the most. And, yeah, until next time, we'll see you here, right? No, that's not right. And we'll see you next time right here on the Real Jaws Minute.
Bye.
Bye.